This episode of the Benefits Brief is sponsored by Humana. A serious illness, an injury, or the death of a loved one can change a family's life in an instant. The emotional consequences are obvious, but the financial consequences may not be, at least until the bills arrive or the paycheck stops. Employer-sponsored life and disability insurance can help employees prepare for circumstances no one expects and no family wants to face. Why do these benefits matter? How should employer-paid and employee-paid coverage work together? And what should benefits advisors be helping clients understand? Let's get briefed.
This is the Benefits Brief, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals. Your fast track to what you need to know to stay sharp, informed, and ready to deliver for your clients. And now, here's your host, former NABIP president and award-winning podcaster, David Saltzman.
Most employees understand why they need health insurance, but many spend far less time considering how the family will pay its bills if a paycheck suddenly stops, or how those bills will be paid after the death of a loved one. Our guest today is Judy Busick, head of group products at Humana. Judy works with life and DI products designed to help employees and their families withstand those financial shocks. Judy, welcome to the Benefits Brief.
Thank you so much for having me today, David.
When you talk about financial vulnerability among working Americans, what does that look like in practical, everyday terms?
Financial well-being is increasingly recognized as a critical component of overall employee health and productivity. When employees experience financial stress, it impacts a lot of people, right? It can impact the employer, the employees they work with. It impacts the employee itself, their focus, their engagement, decision-making, and overall well-being. Financial stress is really recognized as a leading indicator to overall emotional well-being.
So what kind of unexpected events are most likely to expose that vulnerability?
Well, an unexpected loss of a loved one obviously creates a financial concern. And then what a lot of people don't recognize is a disability, right? An illness, an injury, an unexpected accident. One in four 20-year-olds today will incur a disability, according to the CDA, the Council for Disability Awareness. And this is actually kind of a lot of people don't have disability insurance. Less than 40% of employees have access to disability insurance. That number actually decreases for smaller employer groups. So there's still a big gap in having appropriate coverage, protecting one's income.
So kind of a two-part question. I mean, we hear a lot about this financial wellness stuff. Should financial wellness protection be part of that conversation right alongside like budgeting, emergency savings, and retirement? And do employers really understand how financially exposed employees are?
I do think there's a gap there. I don't think employers really recognize the need or how much employees rely on an employer for these type of benefits. Employees do respect the benefit package that they receive at the employer. They look to their employer to really give them this type of advice and access to these benefits. You know, financial well-being, it's no longer a secondary component of an employee benefit strategy. It's really becoming a business imperative. Again, the life insurance protects the families from financial consequences of a loss. Disability protects the income that the employees depend on every day. So together, these two benefits are really foundational benefits to create a more resilient workforce and a stronger benefit package.
So why do you suspect that it's harder for employers to recognize the need for employees to protect their income and their families? Are they just like hyper-focused on core medical, or is it something advisors aren't talking about enough? What do you think?
David, I think it's a combination of both. The core benefits are a little overwhelming, the medical benefits, the health benefits. So the financial benefits really become secondary. What we recommend a lot of times are focus on those core benefits, those health benefits that you need to get in place, and then come back in a few months and maybe do an off anniversary review of your benefits package and introduce these financial benefits package mid-year. That allows employers to focus on providing that offering and also allow employees to focus on those benefits and understand those benefits. So often when they're combined together, there isn't really that time to focus on the financial benefits.
So let's start talking about what happens when a family loses someone it depends on. Why does employer-sponsored life insurance remain such an important foundation of the overall employee benefits package, as you mentioned?
Obviously, you know, when one of these events happen, it changes a family's life in an instant, right? The emotional impact is immediate. It's overwhelming. But pretty soon after, the financial impact happens, right? Bills continue to arrive, you know, the mortgage payments still due, and a loved one's income suddenly stops, or if it's a disability, their paycheck stops. So that's where the financial benefits protection come in, where the life and disability plays a critical role. And employees today are financially vulnerable, right? We see it all the time. There's a lot of tight
budgeting overall.
That's right. Most people say they would have to take a loan out or use their credit card if an unexpected $400 bill would arrive. So budgets are very tight. So these benefits are very important.
And there are some markets or some parts of the market that seem to attract more advisor attention for obvious reasons. Does access through workplace for these kinds of coverages help people who might never have purchased coverage on their own?
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, employees really do look to their employer for a sound benefits package, and they trust their employer to provide that to them. And a lot of employees don't have access to maybe a financial advisor, or they're not using a financial advisor where they could purchase these benefits on their own. Employees also value the payroll deduction. So it's easy to purchase these benefits at the workplace, and it's also easy to pay for these benefits at the workplace if the employer is using convenient payroll deduction.
How can advisors help employers decide what kind of basic coverage to provide?
Advisors should understand the company that they're dealing with and the demographics of the workplace. But there's really, you know, an option to have employer-paid benefits for the life insurance, they should look at, you know, seeing how much the employer would want to sponsor for life insurance, and then what type of additional life insurance that the employee needs from it. And so there's two benefits from the life insurance standpoint that they should consider: employer-paid and also access to employee-paid coverage. This employee-paid coverage allows employees to purchase additional coverage above and beyond what their employer is paying. And then for the disability coverage, they also need to recognize that short-term disability is valuable, as well as long-term disability benefits are valuable. Again, you can consider a level of employer-paid benefits, as well as allowing the employee to purchase additional benefits above and beyond what the employer is paying for.
Are there tools available to help employees evaluate whether they need coverage beyond the basic amount that an employer is providing?
There are tools available, a lot of financial tools available for the employee to understand what type of benefits they would need if they lose a loved one. I mean, the type of income that they would need if they lose a loved one to cover their mortgage, educational expenses. And a lot of that is to bring awareness around the expenses that they would have and to help cover those costs if they were to lose a loved one, as well as losing potentially a loved one's income.
Well, and let's talk about that, because absolutely. I mean, death isn't the only event that can interrupt income from a family. And you know, we talk a lot about, we've alluded to disability a couple of times, but it's often described as protecting the paycheck. Why is that such an effective way to describe it?
That's a great way to describe it, David. And we would always say you insure a lot of your assets, right? You insure your car, you insure your house, your ability to earn an income is your largest asset, right? That is your largest asset, yet we don't insure it. So that's a great way to describe it and a great way to really help employees understand that they should insure their greatest asset, their ability to earn an income. And that's exactly what disability insurance does.
You know, one of the things that I know, I mean, I'm an old DI dork, and I used to love selling that product when I was out marketing. But something that gets confusing for employees is the difference between short-term and long-term disability coverage and how they work together. Can you explain that in simple layman's terms?
Yeah, short-term is really just that. It's to cover a short-term disability, an accident, illness, or injury. And then a typical short-term disability plan will pay after 15 days or 7 days wait, and then last for maybe 13 weeks or 26 weeks. It's intended to cover short-term disabilities. And then your long-term disability at that point would kick in. A long-term disability can cover a disability as long as your Social Security normal retirement age. So if someone is going to have a long-term illness and unable to go back into the workforce, that's when your long-term disability benefits pay. Many times people think that's what Social Security disability benefits are for. And as we know, David, Social Security disability benefits can be difficult to obtain. They can be a little bit more difficult to qualify for. You have to be totally disabled, unable to do any occupation, where a long-term disability policy provides additional protection. You sometimes can be partially disabled or returning to work on a part-time basis and still receive benefits that allow you to bridge that income loss.
There are still employers who offer one or the other. Some employers have only short-term, some employers have only long-term. As an advisor, what's the conversation like to talk to an employer about the need for both of those coverages in order to protect their workforce?
I think it's important to understand, for employers to understand that, you know, the long-term disability is really going to be an event where you really want to help the employee and make sure that they're covered. And again, make sure that that gap in Social Security disability insurance is covered, right? So again, a lot of people think that Social Security disability insurance would pick up then, and there is definitely those gaps. I think the biggest hurdle is a lot of times employers just don't recognize that it's really an inexpensive benefit. So when you show them the cost of the benefit and what it costs per employee, it's relatively a low-cost benefit. So I think that goes a long way to help employers understand that it's really not that expensive of a benefit for the value that they're getting.
Well, and you know, employers, shouldn't they also look at what I'll call the soft costs, like recruitment, retention, loyalty, productivity, all of that stuff? Because that has a dollar, you know, most employers don't really put a dollar sign to that, but 100%. It definitely has a dollar sign if you can't help an employee get back to work.
100%. It's not only the employee benefit that we're looking at. So the employer has that benefit, right, of lost productivity. They, you know, the sooner that they can get an employee back to work, the better it is for the employer. There's also the impact on the rest of the workers, right? So when you lose a worker, a coworker, that impacts the rest of the workers at the workplace, right? There's a lot of extra stress on the additional tasks that are put on the remaining employees. And it's also a goodwill to the other employees, right? When they see that their coworker is being helped through benefits that their employer has sponsored, that goes a long way, not just for the employee that's disabled, but again, for the remaining workforce.
So if we take a step beyond employer-paid benefits, does offering voluntary coverage help employees expand their coverage at a cost that they can afford?
Definitely. It's a way for employers to provide a benefit and not necessarily pay for it, but it still goes a long way. The employees appreciate that the employer is sponsoring this and they'll do easy payroll deductions to help them pay for it. And it also, I think, highlights to the employee that, you know, they're making an active enrollment. They're then aware that they have this benefit as part of their benefits package. So it sometimes provides more value to the employee as far as understanding that they do have this valuable benefit.
You know, when employers do offer these benefits, both the employer paid, but mostly the voluntary, they talk about engagement, employee engagement. And that is always a communication issue. It's most often the weak link in putting all these programs underneath employees. What are the things that employers and advisors can do to explain these benefits without relying on fear or just burying folks in insurance terminology?
I think, David, what you talked about earlier, you know, describing disability, keep it as simple as possible. And describing disability insurance as you're protecting your ability to to earn an income, you're protecting your paycheck, right? You're protecting the ability to have that paycheck. And keep it simple like that. You know, disability can be a little bit overwhelming if you start to go into contract provisions, but keep the conversation as simple as possible. If you're disabled due to an illness or injury and you're going to be out 15 days or longer, short-term disability will provide a portion of your paycheck replacement for 13 weeks or 26 weeks. In the unfortunate event that it's a longer-term disability, long-term disability benefits could kick in and replace a portion of your paycheck up to age 65 or 67. So keep the conversation as simple as possible and keep it financially focused, why it's important to have that income replacement.
You mentioned earlier doing an off-enrollment review. Should the education also continue outside of the annual enrollment period?
I do think that's a really good point and important to remind employees of these valuable benefits, right? One of the things that we do at Humana on the life insurance side is we offer the ability to increase employee-purchased life insurance on an annual basis. So employees could actually increase their benefit every year up to a certain amount after they enrolled. That's not only allows their benefits to grow with them as maybe their family grows or their needs grow, but it's also an important reminder that the employer is sponsoring these benefits and the employee does have some financial protection. Again, financial, you know, stress is really rampant today. So I think anything you can do to remind employees that they do have these valuable benefits really helps to ease some of the concern that employees may have.
Well, I think it's also important, and a lot of advisors, you know, if you're not old school and you weren't trained this way, a lot of advisors would do well to talk about what the monthly cost is and what the annual potential benefit would be of these things, because people are financially strapped and inflation keeps going up and all that stuff, they say, well, just what I need is to pay for more insurance. That just reduces my spendable income. But you have to show the benefit as well. We tend to focus as human beings on the cost of stuff. How important is it for an advisor to working with employees and with employers to talk about annual benefits or lifetime benefits?
I think it's very important, 100%. I agree that it tells the compelling story that one in 20 workers will, you know, experience a disability in their lifetime, and nearly 40% of Americans struggle to cover that unexpected $400 expense. So it is extremely important to continue to get the message out. You know, and employees, again, rely on their workplace life insurance benefits and their disability benefits because they simply don't find these benefits on their own or don't have access, like I said, to maybe a financial advisor to educate them on the need for these benefits.
So for an advisor who's listening today, what's the first conversation they should have with an employer whose workforce may be financially unprotected?
These benefits, life insurance and disability, are foundational to any financial well-being, any financial plan. And I think that the employers, when they recognize the cost, the lower cost of these benefits, and the impact, the positive impact it can have on the workforce, not only to enrich the benefit package, but like you said, David, earlier, to encourage return to work, to ensure that the rest of the employees are protected also, goes a long way.
Where can benefits professionals learn more about Humana's life and disability solutions?
They can reach out to our Humana website or also contact their group sales rep.
Judy Busick, thanks for joining us on the Benefits Brief today, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm David Saltzman, and until next time, you've been briefed.
Thank you, David.
Stay ahead with the Benefits Brief. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or catch every episode in your member-exclusive Washington Update each Friday. To learn more about how NABIP helps you succeed or to become a member, visit NABIP.org. That's NABIP.org.